God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar. You will see the Bible come alive as you see the centuries unfold before your eyes. Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood, co-founder of Conservative Theological University, will present a 7,000-year world history and Bible timeline, revealing God's world history, past, present, and future. Recommended for pastors, Christian school teachers, Bible students, and homeschoolers. It all happens Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. A light lunch will be provided. Registration is $99 and includes syllabus, lecture, and the light lunch. You will never view the Bible in the same way after you attend this powerful, informative seminar presentation. It's God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar with Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood. Saturday, August 27th. Register now. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill. He's the former representative for District 1 for the state of Florida House, and he is now the top candidate running for a seat again for District 1 for the Florida House of Representatives. We're thankful for his candidacy. We're looking forward to victory on the late evening on the 23rd of this month as the final votes are counted. It is our prayer as we hold his hands up before the Lord and ask God to give victory. We're praying for him. And so we're thankful to have Mike on the phone line with us today as we talk about these issues. The major question that we're asking today, can we trust government? And I say emphatically no. Congressman Hill says no. And I've said that for quite some time. And I know that many of our listeners, you've thought or said the same thing. Congressman Hill, hold just a moment. We have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes. Hello?
Kenneth, we're listening. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, look. These areas need to get out. They need to get out. Because, number one, they try to sell our government out. Our republic, should I say it like that?
You're exactly right. Do you have a question that you can ask the congressman or a statement you'd like to make about his campaign?
Yes, because it's ridiculous what this is going through, what we're going through. It's ridiculous. They need to get out. And I'm glad. I think it's Hill. And I definitely vote for him.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Kenneth. And I pray that you'll continue to hold Congressman Hill up in your prayers. We're looking forward for Victory Day on the 23rd of this month. Thank you so much for your call. And as I always say, keep looking up. our redemption draweth nigh. Congressman Hill, we just before the news break, we were talking about the fact that knowing that right now the CDC's admitted lying to us, admitted being deceitful in all that they've said and done. One of the major things that I find super egregious, I'm looking at an article, says 44% of pregnant women in Pfizer trials lost their babies. FDA, CDC recommended jabs for expectant mothers. Anyway, the point being, and it's a 5-6 page article discussing that, the point being that in their research, in their preparation to openly provide these vaccinations or shots to everyone, including pregnant women, they knew that it would destroy the baby in the womb, but they did it anyway. This article says more than 40% of the pregnant women who participated in the Pfizer mRNA COVID vaccine trials suffered miscarriages, according to the internal Pfizer documents that are now coming out. And I could go on and on and on with article after article after article that I have before me. Here's one asked the question, did Pfizer commit huge fraud in its COVID vaccine research? And it gives data after data after data, event with specific dates, where it proves that they committed fraud even with their research and then perpetrated that fraud on the general public, which according to Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, and this was back in March, he said then over 500,000 Americans had died as a result of the COVID jab, and 1.5 million people were already ill and future major, major medical problems as a result of the COVID jab. And yet there seemingly was nothing being said or done until now with this information is out. So my question is, Congressman Hill, and it's a kind of a rudimentary hypothetical question, but how can a military person go to get their career back? How can a doctor or nurse go and get their reputation, their life back after their license have been canceled and or suspended? Where can a family go to get redress for the murder of their son or their daughter, their mom or dad? Where can a person go that took the COVID jab that now will face a lifetime of debilities, and how can they regain their health? How do you respond to those hypothetical questions? Though they're hypothetical, they're very real. So the question is, what do we do now as citizens that's been harmed, damaged, and multitudes dead as a result of the lie that's perpetrated by the CDC and the FDA?
Dr. Youngblood, I think action needs to be taken against the makers of the these vaccines. And it wasn't just Pfizer. It was Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and I think there was another one also. They should all be held accountable. They made billions, tens of billions, if not more, dollars over the past couple of years with this vaccine hoax. They knew that it was a lie. They Yes. knew how dangerous it was, even during the trials that they had, where they saw the adverse effects. They saw people who died during the trials, and they still pressed it out. They still said, continue to get that vaccine. And I've seen the very real results of those who refuse to. Well, I know myself, Dr. Youngblood, I never took the vaccine. No one in my family has refused. I refused to wear masks even and tried my best, except when I was flying, they made you put it on, and I had to get to my destination. So I wore it then, but immediately took it off as soon as I was leaving the plane. Even walking through the airport, I wouldn't wear my mask. I had a neighbor, a very good friend of mine. He and I would often pray together, who came to me one day. He was just two doors down, came to me one day and says, Mike, we're selling the home and moving to Houston, Texas. That's where my wife's family is. I says, why? He worked out at the Pensacola Naval Air Station as a civilian contractor. They told him because of his refusal to take the vaccine, to take the shot, that they were terminating his position. So he had to leave that job and move because he refused to get that vaccine. Now, how is he going to get redress of his grievances? How is he going to go back to the military now, who fired him, uprooted his entire life, had to sell his house, move to Houston, move in with his wife's parents until he can get back on his feet again because of what they did? It's outrageous. what they did. And so even if you hold the makers of that vaccine accountable, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer, even if you hold them accountable, you sue them, people's lives have still been uprooted by the military, by hospitals who fired nurses, by businesses who told people take the vaccine or be fired. How do you come back against all that? It had a horrible effect, not only on families, which is bad enough. Imagine a woman who took the jab and lost her child, had a miscarriage. That's horrible. That is a horrific pain that she's going to carry now for the rest of her life. But it also had a horrible effect on our nation economically, Dr. Youngblood. We are feeling the effects of it now because of this Biden regime, this cabal, and the decisions that they have made, including trying to force people to take these vaccines, where we see this runaway inflation. We see our borders that are essentially open, and they're bringing in all kinds of diseases with them. We're seeing a resurgence of polio in New York because of these illegal immigrants who are coming across the border and going there. It's all been devastating to our economy, and we must get this regime out of office as soon as possible. That is why it is so important this November that the church must rise up
and vote
in people who will stand for the Constitution to stop this nonsense, this communist takeover that we're seeing coming from the Democrats. When the church arises, when the church gets up and votes, we will win. Righteousness will prevail.
Amen. I was about to say, preach on. You're exactly right. Now, here's my question, and I am looking forward to the day that you are sworn into office as our representative in District 1 here in the state of Florida. And I know that you and I have talked about this before. You're familiar with Senate Bill 7014 that the governor signed into law. 7014 gives blanket immunity, total blanket immunity for every doctor, every hospital, every medical association that is responsible for murdering patients with COVID if they claim they followed the COVID CDC protocol. Now, my question is very poignant and very serious. You know our family's history. You're a great prayer warrior that stood with us for 71 days when our son was being tortured to death in a Virginia hospital. They have that same total immunity, blanket immunity law in the state of Virginia. Attorneys that I've talked with are reticent to take a case to go against a hospital or a doctor, even though we realize and know malpractice took place because of that blanket immunity, they cannot do so. So my position is that in the state of Florida, at least, our legislators need to introduce legislation that will nullify Senate Bill 7014, which Governor DeSantis signed into law, that ties the hands of families that have lost loved ones, either by way of ill health or by way of maltreatment and medical abuse, that they lost their lives. Now, the question is, do you feel that is possible? Does that ring a bell with you as to the potentiality and interest? And do you feel that we could have enough congressmen as yourself that would take that heavy load on to introduce legislation to at least make free in the state of Florida family members that can then go to some attorney and have the case heard and at least have it aired out in court with the jury making a decision, or at least having the potentiality for a class action suit that would bring redress for the losses?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. That was a terrible bill that was brought forth by a Republican House and Senate.
Yes.
And a Republican governor, who everyone says is the best governor in the U.S. and has made Florida free. Well, that part of Florida is not free. That was a terrible bill. The doctors who did and hospitals who perpetrated this malpractice should be held accountable. And that bill should be, that law should be repealed. Legislation should be filed to repeal it. Will it have an opportunity of passing this next legislative session? I would be very skeptical of that, Dr. Youngblood,
yes,
because
right.
of who we have in leadership right now. However, just because it is skeptical that it can be passed doesn't mean that someone should not take on that task. Someone has to raise the banner. Someone has to stand there and fight for the people and against big business, big hospitals who made billions of dollars, by the way. They knew that they would get paid more if they diagnosed someone with COVID instead of with the flu or with pneumonia or bronchitis. They got paid more. They got paid more if they put those patients on remdesivir, which they knew would cause them great harm and even kill them. They got paid more when they put those patients on ventilators, whether it was needed or not. That was horrible malpractice. It was a terrible bill that was signed into law, and it does need to be repealed.
Absolutely. I'm looking at a headline. We have a corrupt medical system in America. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, Wisconsin, stood out in the Senate for giving a platform for scientists, physicians, healthcare workers who are critical to the CDC COVID-19 variants and government's pandemic mitigation efforts. He says, we have a corrupt medical system in America. According to his report, from the pharmaceutical companies down to the federal health agencies, through the research centers and medical journals, it should be a grave concern for every American. And it goes on to talk about the fact that the CDC provided inaccurate data, forcing the public to turn to other sources for medical care, et cetera, et cetera. Congressman, we've got several minutes left on the broadcast, but I want us to make a dramatic change in conversation and discussion and focus on what took place recently with the DOJ and the FBI in the raid on the President Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Tell us your thoughts on that, your take on what has taken place and what has happened and what we are faced with today with the potential hearing. I believe it's at 1 o'clock. The hearing is supposed to be with the judge to unseal, with the challenge to unseal the affidavit. Should the affidavit be unsealed? President Trump says that it should. Some of the media say that they want to see it. What are your thoughts on that? What's your take on what took place? I'm looking at one article that says, the weaponization of the government, the power has become clear, according to retired General Paul Valley, about the Trump raid. Another headline, FBI raids President Donald Trump's home. It was improper. It was intrusive. It was unconstitutional, according to Alan Dershowitz, a constitutional attorney. So what are your thoughts on that? Talk with our listeners about it and how we should view it and what we should be doing.
Yes, that was an egregious abuse of power that we saw, Dr. Youngblood. And some are using the excuse, well, a judge approved it. That judge was also corrupt.
Yes.
It was illegal what they did. It was unconstitutional what they did. And I'll have to give a shout out to Mark Levin, who I listen to frequently, who said what a lot of people don't recognize is they use as a pretense for illegally raiding President Trump's home when they knew he was not going to be there. They knew he wasn't going to be there. They raided his home. And to say that they needed to collect documents that were classified, which they knew were there, they knew exactly where they were because they asked President Trump to put a lock on the room where they were, which he did. So they went there, but not only did they do their illegal raid, their search on for those contents, they went to other parts of the home, including into his wife's closet. Outlandish, outrageous what they did. And they said that they wanted to collect documents which may have been secret, top secret, or whatever. The thing is, as Mark Levin pointed out, the people who are responsible for the protection of those documents were the ones who created them in the first place. According to the 1917 Document Protection Act, the person who created the documents which were secret or top secret, they are the ones responsible for maintaining the status of those. If they were to give those to President Trump, it is their responsibility to make sure that they are properly taken care of. If they did not, it is a felony. And so those organizations, those individuals, which I'm sure included the FBI, the NSA, Department of Justice, CIA, all of those who put those documents together, the person or individual who did that, are to be held responsible. And no one's talking about that now. And so now the judge, the same judge, I believe, who authorized the raid is now going to, by the way, was a Obama selection, a Democrat hack, is now going to be the same one who's going to release the or going to make a decision as to whether or not the affidavit should be released, which it absolutely should. The American people have a right to see what is there. And if they need to redact, limited redaction of some names to protect their identity, so be it. But for the most part, we should see that affidavit unredacted and see exactly why they thought it was necessary to commit this unconstitutional, egregious act on President Trump.
Absolutely.
What that shows, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Youngblood, I'm sorry.
Just hold your thoughts for just a moment. We have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor Davis, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood and Brother Mike Hill. So glad to hear, you know, about all the good news concerning your running for the Congress again, and we will certainly be backing you all the way until you victoriously win that part of the election. We'll certainly supporting you in prayer as well. But just a few comments, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, what I think they need to do is unseal the affidavit. Let's pull the tablecloth off the table. Let's see what's under the table.
That's right.
Because they've actually set the table for their own downfall. But once we get the tablecloth off, we'll be able to see what's actually underneath the table. There's a lot of stuff under there that we don't even know about. But I'm mighty afraid it's going to work against them instead of for them. And also on to those that have also taken that coronavirus shot. I'm afraid, Dr. Youngblood, it's already Katie by the door. They have signed an affidavit before they took that shot, and there's not going to be a get back concerning that. But for those that took it out of fear for their jobs and other various reasons, they may be able to, you know, do something about that in the future. And I'm certainly hoping that that's how it will work out, so that others can be vindicated for the wrong that has been done against them. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for your call, your comments. Keep praying, keep looking up, and continue to pray. We're looking, as you are, I am, and others that are listening today, looking forward to Victory Celebration Day on the 23rd of this month, just the next few days, as Congressman Hill wins his seat to go back into the House, Florida House, to represent us. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article that says, a popular senator issues a shocking warning to President Donald Trump's fans, and it's Senator Marco Rubio that warns that what they've done to President Trump, they'll do to each and every citizen unless we're careful. Another article headline says, the FBI and the deep state are at war with America. Another statement says, U.S. corrupt at the highest level seen in American history. Trump's a home raided by the FBI. And another headline says, Donald Trump lawyer alleges that Democrats create fear via the FBI seeking, quote, nuclear weapon documents in the raid. That brings the fever pitch to a high level when now they're claiming a secret, how would you say, informant that told the Washington Post that supposedly in the documents there are secret nuclear weapon documents that they're afraid that President Trump will give to an enemy. How do you relate to that? Do you find that to be a crying wolf just simply to get the citizens in America on the side of the FBI and the DOJ? Or do you believe there's really some potential there that President Trump would want to harm America?
No, that's preposterous. They're using it as a smokescreen. They know that President Trump has demonstrated nothing but America first, the love for this nation. Of course, he would not give nuclear secrets to anyone else, an enemy or any other foreign nation. That's utter nonsense. We need to abolish the FBI. They were an unconstitutionally created agency that can go away. The work that they do can be parceled out to other government agencies or even at the state level.
Yes.
We do not need an FBI that has been weaponized against American citizens who might disagree with the Democrats who are in power. We need to abolish the FBI. We need to abolish the CDC. We need to abolish the Federal Reserve, which is also unconstitutional. What they have done since they have been established has eroded our purchasing power almost each and every year. The dollar is worth only a nickel of what it was when the Federal Reserve was first formed. We need to abolish them and instead go back to state-owned banks, which competed against each other. We would be in a lot better financial position than we are now.
I'm in full agreement with those statements. It is very, very fascinating how so many people do not recognize what we see taking place is against our Constitution and on a massive level. And as a result of that, we're finding the diminishing of anything that would be called the America as a hill, a shining light on a hill, shining city on a hill, as Ronald Reagan called it. I'm looking at an article that says, Tucker Carlson says, Biden is using the law enforcement in order to cling to power. And one of those things, and Congressman, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast, and I know it's a short period of time, but speak to the fact that they're going to now have 87,000 IRS agents to go out into the highways and byways and enforce the laws against anybody that they might say or think or would accuse of doing something wrong. How do you respond to that, knowing that the IRS agents will now be armed and take swearing an oath, being willing to use deadly force?
That is outrageous, Dr. Youngblood. Unbelievable. That they are, first of all, hiring that many agents that we are paying for. We, the taxpayers, are paying someone who will willing to use deadly force. 87,000 agents. If you divide that by 50, that's over 1,700 agents per each state. And do you think that they're going to use that just to go after large corporations who aren't paying their fair share? No, they're going to use that to come after us. Biden has weaponized the government against the American people, exactly what our founding fathers were concerned about and exactly why we have a Second Amendment.
Amen. Say one final note as a challenge and encouragement to our listeners today before we go off the broadcast.
Dr. Youngblood, I would use those words that are so dear to me that you shared with me a number of months ago from building of the wall.
Nehemiah 4:20.
That's right. For some reason, my mind went blank. Nehemiah 4:20. God will fight for us. He is faithful. So pray, keep looking up, as you say, Dr. Youngblood, and be ready for the victory.